presence.
What God laid on my heart to really speak on is just dwelling in God's presence, not visiting there, not going there for a devotion once a day, but learning how to dwell in the presence of God. And there is a lot more to say about that than what I'm going to be able to get said this week. I know somebody might think, well, that's pretty simple. Well, if it's so simple, why don't we do it? I'm going to share some things that I believe that this will challenge you. And let me just start by saying that I don't profess that I've got this all figured out and that I do it perfectly. I'm kind of like Paul talked about, that this, you know, one thing I do, forgetting the things that are behind, I press on. He says, I haven't apprehended, but this one thing I do. And this is something that God, just immediately, when I had my miraculous encounter with the Lord in 1968, I don't know, nobody told me this, but I intuitively, after tasting and seeing that God was good, I knew that nothing else compared with God, nothing else drew my attention. And I mean, I have just been obsessed with seeking God with my whole heart, putting Him first and foremost, and not doing it in spurts, but trying to do it consistently. Again, I haven't obtained unto it, but that's my goal, and it's what I'm working on. And I really consider it to be one of the main things that God has done in my life. And I want to share with you that a lot of the promises of God, probably more than what we realize, are really conditional upon us dwelling in the presence of God. That's significant. The word dwell means to, this is your habitation. This is where you stay. It's denoting a fixed position is what the word literally means. And sad to say, I think that most Christians come and go, and they are sometimes with the Lord and other times they aren't with the Lord. Here's some of the things. I'll go in more detail on this, but you know, we have a culture today in the church that teaches that we're supposed to have devotion times and we're supposed to get in these intense times of prayer. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not against devotions. All right? You heard me say this. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I am not against devotions. I'm not against doing those things. But I'm saying that that is still far short of dwelling in the presence of God. It's better than not having a devotion. It's better than not seeking the Lord and not putting your mind on the Lord. I'm not against them. It's a step in the right direction. But so much of what the Word talks about, Jesus talked about abiding in me. It talks about in Isaiah 26:3, the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him. That word stayed means to grab hold. You don't let go. You got a death grip on it. And the average person visits the Lord. They go in spurts. They may have a devotion, and then the rest of the day they go out and they're just as mean as a snake. You know, I believe that honestly, and I'm not again saying that I do this perfectly, but I can tell you that my time of walking on my trail, driving in a car, doing anything that I'm doing, there is no difference between that and when I am shut up and studying and doing something specifically that's called a religious devotion. I believe that we need to get to the place to where, praise God, we live in the presence of God. We dwell in the presence of God. And that is not true with most people. Again, I commend you for coming here this week and taking the time. Who knows how much effort? These people that came from Ghana and different places, it's a lot of expense. It's a lot of effort. I talked about one person that took the bus here, I think, from West Virginia. And they started last Thursday taking the bus. You know, it's a lot of effort. I commend you for it. And this is great. But you need to get to where when you're at home and you're with the Lord and there's nothing special going on, that you are just as much in the presence of God and you're enjoying the presence of God just as much. And this isn't something that is unattainable. Ashley talked about it tonight, that little teaching on how to, the four keys to staying full of God. You can choose how full of God you want to be. You can choose how happy you are. You can choose how anointed you are. You can choose how blessed you are, because God has already blessed us with all of these things. God has already done His part, and it's up to us. And one of the keys is learning how to dwell in God's presence and not just visit there or vacation there. And as much as I commend you for doing this, if you come here and get your mind stayed on the Lord and receive something from God, but then you go back and plug yourself into a lifestyle to where your mind isn't stayed on God, you are not going to have perfect peace. If you don't abide in the Lord, you will not have the results that John chapter 15 talks about. And let me turn over here to Psalms chapter 91 and just start with this and give you some examples out of Psalms 91 about this. It says in the very first verse, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And we're going to go on and read the rest of these verses, but there are some powerful promises here. I don't believe there's a person in this auditorium that doesn't want all of the benefits that Psalms 91 talks about. It's awesome. If every one of us was living up to the full potential of what God had promised us right here, I guarantee you there would be no lack, there would be no inadequacy, not only in your life, but in other people's lives. You would be stronger than horseradish, and you would be blessing people, and awesome things would be happening. That is not the experience of everyone, and I can tell you the largest reason is because this starts with that all of these promises and blessings that are spoken are to those who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Again, this word dwell is denoting a fixed position, not something that occurs sporadically. It is a fixed position. That's a major statement. Look over here, keep your finger, I'm coming back to this, but look in Psalms chapter 31. This secret place that this is talking about, in Psalms chapter 31 and in verse 20 it says, "Thou shalt hide them." This is talking about those who put their trust in the Lord and are seeking Him. It says, "Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So this is talking about a secret place of God's presence. And I believe that this is what Psalms 91 is talking about when it says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High." This is talking about those that just dwell in the presence of God. Now, I'm going to deal with this more and try and drive this point home, but let me just say this. I think most people mentally agree with this, that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. He's with us constantly. God never leaves. But we aren't aware of that. And it says in Philemon chapter 1, verse 6, it says, "The communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus." Even though the Lord never leaves us nor forsakes us, even though the Lord, there is nowhere that you can flee from His presence. It's impossible to get away from God. God is with you constantly. It doesn't benefit you unless you believe that. And unless you practice being in the presence of God and you constantly are aware of His presence and His favor. I'm also going to be talking about a lot of things. A lot of people they have a God consciousness, but it's not the true God. It's a religious concept where there's wrath and punishment and they feel guilt and punishment. And they, instead of that blessing you and keeping you in the secret place of the Most High, it'll keep you with the mindset that, oh yeah, God exists, but He wouldn't do anything for me. So I'm going to be talking about that. But I'm just trying to drive home this point that all of these promises that are given, and really everything in the Word of God, God is faithful to us, but we have to be conscious of it. We have to renew our mind, and we have to be aware of these things. And it's not a matter of God's faithfulness, it's a matter of our faithfulness to this. Now again, we don't do it perfectly, and I'm also going to say, I'm giving you a little introduction to all of this, and I'm also going to say these things, that if we haven't been seeking the Lord, if we haven't dwelt in the presence of the Lord the way that we should, God's not mad at us, and you don't have to grovel on your face and come to Him. And it says that He remembers our frame. He knows that we are but dust, and God is merciful, and He's willing and able to receive you, so you don't have to beat yourself up over this. But at the same time, we need to intentionally get to where we are aware of God's presence and get rid of this concept that, you know, when you come together like this in a group, that there's something special. Well, there may be a special manifestation. You might see more because you've got people here in agreement, and God said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You might see a greater manifestation and stuff, but God is with you the same at all times. I don't care the worst moment you've ever had, God was as close to you as he's been to you at your best moment. It's not God that changed, it's your perception and awareness that changes. And I'm saying that your awareness of God's presence with you is something that is completely at your control. You can make yourself to where you dwell in the presence of the Most High constantly, and you're aware of it, and you're aware of His goodness, and you never, ever, ever feel forsaken. Thank you for that one. That's it. Arthur's in agreement with me. I know some of you think, well, that's pretty simple. I agree with that. Well, probably not. I have people come to me all the time that, well, I just don't feel the love of God. And they immediately want me to pray and ask God to give them a feeling. And they don't believe that God is with them until they feel it. And I've actually had people debate this and get mad at me because they will say, well, it doesn't matter what the Bible says, that God's with me all the time. If I don't feel it, well, then it's not real to me. I've had people say that. I've had people criticize me and stuff and say, it doesn't matter what the Bible says. You've got to feel it. And if you don't feel it, well, then it's not real. Boy, that just irks me. I'm trying to be nice. But what that does, that establishes your feelings as God. More important than the Word of God, more important than the truth. Who cares what the truth is? This is what you feel. You know, over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, those are powerful verses. And in verse 19 right there, it says that they, being beyond feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness. You know what that's talking about is that there is a right use for feelings. God gave us the capacity for feelings. Feelings aren't from the devil. God, if we didn't have any feelings, did you know that life would be really, really bland? Some people would like it because maybe you wouldn't feel the hurt and the pain, but I can guarantee you, you'd miss out on all of the good things, the awesome feelings. Feelings, God gave us feelings to enjoy, but there is a right and a wrong use of them. And what that's talking about in Ephesians chapter 4, it says they've gone beyond feelings. They've gone beyond the natural use of feelings and have given themselves over to lasciviousness. Lasciviousness is talking about unrestrained, uncontrolled, undisciplined feelings. In other words, just feelings are the reality. If you feel it, then it's real. And if you don't feel it, it's not real. That is lasciviousness. That is going beyond the natural use of it. And there are people that it doesn't matter what the Word says about being with them and that God will never forsake you, He's with you always, etc. It's just, I just don't feel it. And so they come to me and say, would you please pray with me that God would just, you know, they won't say it this way, but that He would give me a feeling. No, I won't. You need to pull your thumb out of your mouth, grow up, and get to where you start standing on what the Word of God says. And if you'll do it, your feelings will follow. If your feelings are constantly way over here, and yet you're professing that God's never left me, He's always with me, I'm blessed, I have joy and peace. Well, and if it's always that way, something's wrong. And you need to fix it. But it's not God that's wrong. It's not God that isn't giving you the feelings. It's something in you. You know, most of us don't like the emotion of pain and the feeling of pain. But you know what? God gave us the ability to feel pain for our own good. So that if you lay your hand on a hot stove, you know, we have a wood burner at our house. And every once in a while, I'll touch that stove. And before I even have time to think about it, man, I jerk back. And stuff. If I didn't have that feeling that caused me to react and to do something, I could burn my hand. I could burn my nerves. I could get to where I couldn't even use my hand and do different things. It's not a pleasant feeling, but it serves a purpose. And you know, the feeling of sorrow and grief and depression and lots of other things, they aren't pleasant feelings, but they do serve a purpose. They show us something. Something's out of whack and something needs to get fixed. But if you are constantly just ignoring them, well, then you are ignoring a problem. Something needs to be fixed and dealt with. But there is a right and a wrong use of that feeling, and I'm saying most of us have gone way beyond it. I'm saying that you can keep your mind stayed on the Lord, Isaiah 26:3, and you'll be in perfect peace. And if you aren't in perfect peace, it's because your mind is not stayed on the Lord, not because God needs to do something and touch you and give you a new deal. It's because you need to renew your mind and you need to learn some things. Amen? So that's a long introduction. But in Psalms chapter 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, talking about his presence, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This word shadow, it's in Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. This exact same Hebrew word is translated defense. When the Joshua and Caleb said that about the giants, it says, don't worry about them. Their defense is departed from them. That's the exact same word that was translated shadow here. So this is what it's talking about. That when you dwell, when you don't visit there, when you don't just cry out to God when you're in trouble, and then when everything's okay, you go on your way until the next time you're in need. But when you dwell in the presence of God, constantly, you abide under the defense, under the protection, under the shadow of the Almighty. But it's a conditional promise. Amen? I'm preaching better than you're listening. And look at this in verse 2. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Here's another thing to say about this, that these promises of God are voice activated. You have to say of the Lord. And there's a lot of people, well, I would never say that. I would never say that God's always going to bless me. I would never say that, praise God, I always triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that just believe that this is arrogant or something like that. I tell you, it takes humility to sit there and face life with all of its problems and all of its opposition and stuff and still have a positive confession and to say that God is on my side and that I'm going to win and praise God, I'm going to come out smelling like a rose. Things like that take humility and faith. It's not arrogance. And you have to say it. There's a lot of people that won't say this. There's a lot of people that won't say that God heals all of our sicknesses and all of our diseases. They might say God heals, but they won't be bold and speak it forth because of experiences, because of problems, because they have seen people that haven't received their healing or whatever and stuff. And because of it, there's people that won't speak forth what God's word says. The promises of God are voice activated. You have to say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Again, this is expressing faith and confidence. You got to say, surely he's going to deliver me. Praise God, I'll come through this. You know, I am not preaching here that you'll never have a problem. Amen. It's amazing how you have to spend so much time explaining yourself. There's nothing wrong with what I'm saying. But there's people that will sit there and say, so you're saying that you'll never have a problem. Give me a break. Jamie and I have had more problems than most of you. Man, we've had a lot of opposition. You know, just anyway, I'm not going to tell you about all this, but this building over here, it takes a lot of money to build this building. And I've been having to have meetings today. And in the natural, we hadn't got the money to do this. And I'm having to sit here and deal with what's going to happen if we don't get some more money coming in and stuff. I've got problems. And I'm not saying that everything works perfectly. You know, and if we had to slow down or stop construction over here, some people, well, you failed. Well, it's not perfect. I believe that if Jesus was here and if this was what God told him to do, he'd get it done without a hitch. Amen. But I've never done anything perfectly in my life. And if I had to slow down for a month, if it cost me an extra 2, 3 months or 6 months or whatever to get things finished, I'm still going to finish. I am sure I am sure that we're going to finish it. We will get things done. But that doesn't mean that we won't have any opposition. It doesn't mean that I don't have any tests. It doesn't mean that every once in a while I'm not under pressure and stuff like that. People who interpret what I'm saying that you just never have any pressure, well, I don't even have the time to explain that any further. That's just it. Anyway, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Did you know noisome pestilence here? I've looked this up in the Hebrew and stuff, and it's talking about plagues. You know, today I heard on the news that they just found the plague in a deer that's down in Pleasant Valley, which I drive through there every time I go to our Colorado Springs office. And they had a boy die in, was it Colorado Springs? Or anyway, it was in Colorado, of the plague last week. And so they're now talking about the plague. And I'm not saying that you sit there and go up to dead animals and just do stuff stupid and expose yourself to things. But you know what? I'm not afraid of the plague because surely he's going to deliver me from the snare of the devil and from the noisome pestilence, a plague. Surely he's going to do it. You don't have to be afraid of that. You know, I've prayed for people with AIDS before and they've coughed and spit in my face, which is how you transmit stuff like that. And you know what? I've never gotten it. I'm never going to get it because no plague's going to come nigh my dwelling. We'll read that in a moment. But you have to believe it, and you have to dwell in the presence of the Almighty, and you have to camp there and stay there. You have to grab hold of it. If all you're doing is visiting the presence of the Lord on Sunday, and then the rest of the week, you're just totally on your own, and you're carnal, and you do whatever you want to, well, then you better go get some shots and take all the precautions you can get. Because every one of these promises are talking about you dwelling in the presence of the Almighty. It says in verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. You know, this is describing the way that a hen protects its chicks. It puts its wings out and protects them from rain and from hail and from things like that. This is what this is describing, that God will give his angels charge over you. We'll mention that in just a minute. He will protect you. But if a chick runs out from under the wings of its mother and gets wet, don't blame the mother hen. The protection was there, but you got to dwell. You got to stay under the shadow. And you know, this is what I would say about you know, there's going to be a lot of Christians, especially the evangelicals, that will sit there and say because of the decision of the Supreme Court that God's wrath is coming on this nation and he's going to judge this nation and destroy it. I tell you what, if God didn't judge this nation for slavery and for other things, and if he didn't destroy us, if we survived that, and if we've been through a lot of the other stuff, God's not going to judge us over homosexuality. Does that mean that God is approving of it? No, it's wrong. But God placed our judgment upon Jesus, and he has promised protection, and God has protected this nation supernaturally. Amen.